Every Thursday, we talk with Peter King from Football Night in America. Now, normally, we do this around 12:30 or thereabouts, but he's got to get on an airplane, I'm sure, to go to one of the playoff sites for this coming
weekend. Yeah,
that's a good
question. Where do you think he's going?
We'll ask him in just a few minutes.
Maybe he's on his way here. Maybe not.
He could hop on a train and get here.
One of four spots.
Yeah, we've narrowed down the options of where
true.
He could go. And
that's true.
While we vamp, while like
because NBC doesn't have a game. This is now all CBS and all Fox the rest of the way here. At least
kind of disappointed the ESPN crew's done. Is that
too bad. Now,
to
if you want to hear Tessitore and Witten again, you got to listen to the or watch the Pro Bowl. I guess they also did the national championship game, but I never went over there.
I am not. Yeah, they were one of those.
There were some other,
different.
I just watched the standard.
I am not an all-star game fan, period.
No.
Especially not the Pro Bowl.
That's a lot worse.
Peter King, who joins us right now. Hey, Peter, how are you?
Dale, how's it going with you?
Doing great, thanks. So, which game site are you headed for to cover this weekend?
Well, I'm at JFK right now. I'm going to San Francisco. It's Freddie King's second birthday tomorrow.
Oh, even better.
There you go.
Yeah, we're making a little detour there, and then I'm going to New Orleans on late Saturday. So, I was torn, really, because I was really interested in obviously in the Patriots game and in the Chargers and all that. But I saw the Chargers last weekend, so I thought, hey, we'll go to see the Saints this weekend, and then we'll see what happens next weekend.
How good are the Chargers? We're trying to break them down this week, and it seems like they're pretty good across the board.
I think the big thing with them is that they don't have to win just one way. This is not the sort of Dan Fouts, John Jefferson Chargers. This is a very, very physical team, a team capable of playing a very physical style. But it's also a team that's capable of throwing the ball downfield as well. So I think it's sort of like, I've always said this about the Patriots on both sides of the ball. Every game plan for Josh McDaniels and on offense and clearly what the Patriots do on defense, it's always a snowflake. You never know exactly how they're going to play. I think the Chargers can be exactly that way.
You know, we're kind of curious. Today, the Chargers announced that they have signed kicker Nick Rose to their active roster today to do nothing but handle kickoff duty Sunday. I mean, kickoffs almost don't exist in the NFL anymore. You need a special guy for that?
I thought it was odd because what you're doing basically is you're basically saying that we don't trust Badgley to put the ball in the end zone. And against this team, we just rather eliminate the possibility of kickoffs. That's what I think anyway. I don't know. And the reason why I'm not sure that it's I was surprised by it, but you have to know who your personnel is right now. And particularly with this team, they've had a lot of linebacker injuries. And so they're down people anyway. And so I'm thinking that what Tom Telesco, the GM, and Anthony Lynn, the coach, are thinking is basically that they have the ability to withstand, to take one spot of their roster, of their 45 who they dress this week, and to basically say, we want him to just kick the ball in the end zone seven times, or out of the end zone seven times, or five times, or three times, whatever. That's all I can think of. It seems a little odd to me, too.
And maybe the Patterson effect, one of the few teams in the league that you really don't want to kick to their return guy, I would guess.
That's an excellent point. I hadn't thought of it that way, but you're right. You're right.
Which road AFC team, Colts or Chargers, do you think has the better chance of getting the win?
Chargers. Not that I don't think the Colts have a chance, and not that I think that either one of them is going to win. If I had to pick those two games, I'd pick the two home teams. But I think both the road teams have the capability of winning. One thing that's interesting to me about the Chargers right now is that they're a team that they feel can play a variety of ways. And it isn't that they just feel that they can play a variety of ways. They have played a variety of ways on both sides of the ball. So to me, when I look at their team, I just say, I don't really know what you're going to see on Sunday. I'm not really confident that I can predict whether, they might, depending on the success they have with the run, I wouldn't be shocked if they ran the ball 55% of the time. They really, really tried to force the run against the Ravens the other day. It didn't work out particularly well, but that's what Anthony Lynn wants to do. He probably wants to do that a little bit more than Ken Wisenhunt, the offensive coordinator, but I think in this game, you know, he's going to want to keep the ball away from Tom Brady as much as he can.
Peter, looking at some of the coaching changes in the NFL, I'm curious why the Arizona Cardinals have decided that it's right to entrust their organization to a young head coach with a 35-44 record at the collegiate level and who just got fired by Texas Tech.
That's the question that everybody around the league really is asking. It's a gutsy, extremely risky hire, in my opinion, because what they're doing is they're going all in on one side of the ball. I'm going to have a graphic in my column on Monday that showed what his Texas Tech teams were on defense.
It's ugly.
Consistently awful. And so when Sean McVay got the job with the Rams 2 years ago, you know, his most important hire was Wade Phillips. And, you know, the Rams, clearly needed somebody to pay attention to the defense and actually to be, in essence, the co-coach of the team. That is exactly what they're going to try to do, I believe, in Arizona. They're going to get a very strong defensive coordinator, and he's going to take over that side of the ball, and he's going to coach that part of the team. It's very clear that they are convinced that the way football is played now is going to be played, with a wide open explosive offense. And so that's why they made this choice. There's no question it's risky. There's no question that both in terms of his track record is wonderful on offense, but as a head coach, it wasn't good. And it wasn't good just for a couple of years. It was not good for whatever, 5 or 6 years. So, I don't know. I'm going to be interested to watch and see this just like anybody else.
Is it fair to say that what happened last year with Josh McDaniels and the Colts impacted the amount of interest that teams had in him this year?
Well, I think it impacted. It probably impacted what happened in Green Bay, I would think, because clearly, if I'm Josh McDaniels, and look, I don't know what he did in this postseason and how many teams either he talked to or had some interest in, but I think he probably only had interest in Cleveland and Green Bay. Because why else would you leave New England if you're going a questionable situation? You're not leaving New England to go coach Tampa. But I think probably knowing how sort of arch conservative the Packers are as an organization and as a place, I think it probably did have something to do with it. And, who knows how much it should have to do with it. But I think Josh knew at the time when he did what he did a year ago or 11 months ago that it could come back to impact him. And I think he's comfortable in the fact, although I'm sure he would have loved to coach the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, I'm sure he's comfortable in the fact that at the time, knowing everything he knew about the Colts, that he would rather stay in New England than go to the Colts.
6 of the 8 coaching openings in the NFL have been filled, all 6 by white candidates. There are 2 remaining. Hugh Jackson perhaps will end up in Cincinnati. It's possible that Chris Richard will end up in Miami, perhaps Brian Flores. Will the people who decry the lack of minority coaches in the NFL have more ammunition this year?
Oh, they have it right now. When Steve Wilks gets 1 year to prove himself in Arizona, they have a horrible year, and he gets fired, and that seemed quite precipitous to me and to a lot of people, both who cover the game and who are in the game. I didn't think that was fair at all to Wilks. But again, Dale, this is, in my opinion, going to be a never-ending struggle in the NFL until more African-American coaches such as Byron Leftwich get a chance not only to work with young quarterbacks, but to do things like call plays, to be what Eric Bieniemy is in Kansas City. You know, I was in Kansas City last week and did some fact-finding on Bieniemy. My opinion of him changed drastically. I think he's absolutely ready to be a head coach. And who knows? I mean, maybe one of these last two jobs goes to either Bieniemy, maybe Chris Richard in Miami, or Bieniemy in Cincinnati. I think there aren't a lot of people who would take that Cincinnati job, and I have no idea if Bieniemy would take it or if he wouldn't take it. But I'd rather have Eric Bieniemy coaching the team than Hugh Jackson, based on track record.
Now, Peter, I know last week you said you had Antonio Brown on your All-Pro ballot, and then you removed him from the ballot. I guess my first question would be, has that ever happened before for you? Have you ever had somebody on there and then asked for it back to make a switch?
I don't ever remember doing that before, because the way I do my All-Pro team is that before week 17, I sit down late that week, you know, this would have been like 2 weeks ago, Thursday or Friday, and just go over everything and basically fill out my ballot. I very often made changes after Sunday's games because some places are very, very close. And so in this particular case, the only reason I change it is because, Antonio Brown went AWOL on the Steelers. Now, you know, I got into this a couple of days ago with Deion Sanders, who claims that Antonio Brown had permission to be AWOL, but I find it very, very hard to believe that any coach is going to allow a player to be away from the team for 3 or 4 days and then just show up on game day and play. I don't believe it. So, whatever happened, he didn't play in the game and he had something to do with it. And in my opinion, I just felt like I can't vote for that guy. I wouldn't vote for him for anything this year.
Now, what about Hall of Fame when that comes up? Now, he probably has a few more years left in his career and then the waiting period and all of that, but would this be something that you would hold against him then?
I mean, hold against him? I think it would be a factor, but I doubt sincerely that this would stand in the way of him being a Hall of Fame player. It's a blip on his career, not a good blip, but, I mean, he's on a Hall of Fame path right now. He's got 837 catches, and he's 30 years old. He's the first guy in history to have 6 consecutive 100 catch seasons. He's a great, great football player. He's definitely one of the 3 or 5 best receivers in football. It's just, I can't stomach and give him honors in a year in which, for 6% of the season, he wasn't there and it was his doing.
There's no way he can be in Pittsburgh next year, is there?
Here's what I think, that the Steelers over the years have given up on some guys when they have become a huge problem, like Santonio Holmes. He was sort of exiled to New York. I wouldn't be shocked if he is traded. I know Chris Mortensen has said it's very likely he will be traded. I don't doubt that at all. But the Steeler way is to let this thing settle down and in about a month have a confab with Brown to see if there's any grounds under which you guys could work together again. Steelers are much better with him than without him, almost no matter what they would trade for him, but we'll see.
Peter, we always appreciate the time. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, guys.
See you, Peter.
Peter King, Football Night in America, joining us.